Hello everyone, it's Jared Robinson, the PR Geek here, and welcome back to episode 56 of the PR Geek podcast. Now, a few episodes ago, we explored just how teachers can utilize automation in the form of apps and websites and different services and so on to try and automate some of the day-to-day tasks that we do in the classroom. Now, since we've published that episode, we've had a number of emails from people who've just made tiny little changes on things that they do regularly, and it's absolutely given them back time. Things add up, and I absolutely recommend you go and check out that episode if you haven't done so yet. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be taking it a little bit further and exploring how you can use the concept of outsourcing to give you back more time to do things that you probably may not have been able to do prior, and to ensure that we're actually doing the thing that we're meant to be doing, and that is teaching the face-to-face aspect and trying to sort of minimize all this extra stuff that happens that really does get in the way of that. So I'm excited to share that with you today. I'm going to talk about the things that I do that are really relevant to this space and how I've been able to achieve some, you know, major projects with this whole idea of outsourcing in mind. Now, over the years, I've read a number of blog posts and spoken with a number of teachers who criticize the whole idea of outsourcing. And they sort of condemn people that do it. And, you know, there's a number of big schools that go down this path of outsourcing, major units or major activities because they maybe don't have the resources or the expertise or whatever it may be. And here I am. This is my opinion. I'm going to tell you right now that that's complete nonsense. For anyone to critique someone because they've outsourced instruction or whatever it may be to another source is absolutely absurd. And the reason I say that, and there's no debating this. I mean, this is fact, complete rock solid fact that there's no room for discussion in this sort of equation. And that is, you're not meant to be a world expert in everything that you teach. And what I mean by that is the reason why people go down this path of outsourcing or finding different ways to bring in experts into their classroom is because that they don't have the skills in every single area that we're trying to teach. Now, I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, I absolutely cannot at all teach yoga. But that shouldn't prevent me, and my skills shouldn't prevent my students from being able to experience it. So because of something like outsourcing and, you know, bringing in talent or experts from outside into my classroom, that really does make it possible for my students to have a better experience. And, you know, that means that they could participate in yoga. Now, this concept seems to be sort of really disrespected amongst the experts and people who think that you need to be the person in your class who's delivering the content in every possible area. And I'm just going to call that's absolute nonsense. And you cannot possibly be an expert in everything. It's just, it isn't possible. And pretending to do so is a complete disservice to your students and to yourself. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you shouldn't learn new skills and that you shouldn't try and improve. It's really not what I'm trying to get across here. But I am really trying to get across that you are not an expert in everything. And at some point, you're better off finding and bringing in and tapping into the expertise that exists in this amazing planet. And technology can play a huge role in that. So the very first way that you can outsource is to tap into people who exist in your area, in your faculty or wherever it may be, and have them teach a lesson for you. Now, I mean, I think there's a real big problem in schools where in the past, everything was sort of treated like a silo where every teacher had their own class and there was very little communication between staff and sharing of resources and so on. So, I mean, I say break those walls down if you haven't already. Ask a teacher at your school who has a speciality in a different area to you to, you know, share some ideas or share some resources or record them teaching the thing that you don't know so well and then sort of present that to your class. So the first thing you should do is look into the skill sets that are existing in your area and see how you can leverage those. Now, a great example of this would be a teacher at my school where I taught was like sort of world class in the outdoor education space, you know, really high quality, really impressive with his knowledge and skills and ability. And we did exactly that. I recorded him explaining something that I just really would have struggled to explain. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I mean, it was outside of my skill area. I probably would have really mucked it up if I attempted to. And we got a much better result because I was more than happy to admit that it's not my speciality and got someone who could do that. Now, you could take this to the next level. And, you know, sure, you've got your staff and you can tap into them and bring in some skills. But let's say you're connected to the internet now and you've got this amazing social networks and you've built up all these connections of people across the planet. Well, all of those people are going to have different skills and abilities too. And you can do the same thing just on a bigger scale. So there's been some really good stories throughout the social media world of teachers who have actually done that. They have taught a class for a peer across the other side of the planet. And the net result of this is that the students actually get a better result or a better outcome. Again, I'm going to say it, you're not an expert in everything. And pretending that you are is sort of like robbing the students of the chance to learn from someone who is. Now, you can take this even further in today's day and age with the use of a variety of apps and different websites and so on, where world-leading experts have actually recorded themselves teaching a variety of content. Now, the very first example I can think of is Fitness Blender. Fitness Blender is something I've shared a lot here, and it's basically a website at fitnessblender.com, and you visit it, and you'll find that there's a husband and wife pair who used to do this professionally in like a studio and so on and have people come to them. But then they just decided that they could have more impact and more leverage if they recorded it and made that available for free online. And the result is that more people see their work now. But for me, as a teacher who, you know, has a skill set of a generalist across so many different things, I can get access to someone who knows a lot more than me in, say, the areas of Pilates. So I visit fitnessblender.com, click Pilates, sort through the workouts and find what I might need or what I would like to expose my students to do, and then hit play. And what's going to happen is there's going to be someone who knows way more than I ever will, producing and running through the session, and I get completely freed up to do sort of one-on-one assistance, help students, even model the activity and sort of join in with them. So just the act of outsourcing that instruction of a complex fitness activity of such as Pilates makes it really possible for me to get a better result for the students. Now, Fitness Blender, that's just one example. I mean, you look no further than something like Peloton Cycle, which is an amazing iPad application that is like a virtual spin class. And the cool part about it is once you've got the app, you can see a list of the actual live training sessions that are about to take place. And all you need to do is you wait until the session starts, and it's actually happening live broadcast. And you then just sit on your exercise bike and you follow along, and you've got yourself a trainer who's somewhere in the world who's being live streamed to the people with the app so that everyone can participate in this spin class without actually having to have an expert on hand or go to a gym or whatever it may be. So if you can imagine a class scenario where you've got a couple of exercise bikes and you could sit there and pretend to run it yourself like you are an expert in everything, I'm just going to say it again, you're not, you could use something like Peloton Cycle and bring in the expert who will be able to take the students on this incredible journey. And this just continues. I mean, if you wanted to teach yoga, then you could attempt to do it yourself, or you could find an expert who does. And the app would be Yoga Studio. And very simply, you would have this professional person running through this amazing content and again, freeing you up to do the thing that you do best, which isn't delivering the yoga, because let's face it, it's pretty difficult to teach. The thing that you do best is supporting students, asking questions, you know, motivating them. They're things that you should be doing, And the other part, which is the instruction we can give to someone who knows more than us. So I think it's actually in our best interest and our students' best interest to look for opportunities to outsource the physical teaching of quite a few of these different types of activities. I mean, I've just given you a few examples here, but they definitely apply to other areas. I mean, if you want phys ed games, for example, then go to physedgames.net. There's so much information out there. There's so many people who that's their speciality. They are experts in that. Tap into them and bring them into your class so that you can be freed up to do the things that are way more valuable. Now, last year during the PE Geek World Survey, I asked a question that revolved around the biggest issues and sort of areas that impact on your ability to teach and so forth. And it's no surprise that one of the most common issues that teachers face impacting them is time, and for that matter, a lack of time to do their job. Now, if I was to ask most teachers, I think this would absolutely be the case. We really time poor. People find it difficult to actually get through all of the tasks that they've been given. And I'm going to go out and say that the reason why that's happens is we do too much, we get given too much, and we say yes to too much, and the net result is we wind up spending more time doing things which are really sort of outside of our teaching role. Now, all of us sort of became teachers so that we could work with students, and we enjoy that aspect. You know, that's probably the part that people say they love the most. They love seeing their impact and so on. But as time goes on, we realize that we start to do more things, and more of this stuff creeps into our job, and the only place to put it is in our free time, which might be your planning time, your own personal time. And as a result, we end up getting busier and busier. And this tends to fall in with any sort of progression in our career. There's the expectation that you will do more work. But unfortunately, we have a very fixed capacity. You've got so many hours per week. That's it. Any additional stuff that you need to do, you've got to cram it into that time. And the thing that actually suffers is your own life. That gets thrown out of the way for some of these really mundane things that we do. And, you know, I know it. I've been in this situation. I've had to do those mundane things before, and I look at it and think, this is absolutely the furthest remove from what I actually am good at, and it's impacting me from being able to do that. And also, it's impacting on my ability to be with my family and my friends. And as a result, you start to resent the things that happen in your job. And this isn't good. I mean, this is why teachers in many ways leave the profession. They're not supported. They get too much thrust upon them. And it's a real shame. So what I want you to do as a bit of an activity is actually think about how much you earn in the period of a month. Now, you don't need to share this with anyone, but this is just for your own thinking and processing. So think about the take-home element of your pay on a monthly basis, and then I want you to divide it by the amount of hours that you would work. Now, you don't just work from 9 to 3 when the school is there. Think about the preparation that goes into it, that's in your personal time, all the other stuff. Add that up too. Any sort of extracurricular things that you do that, you know, are just part of your job and you have to do it, add them up. Now, what you want you to do is to take your take-home pay and divide it by how many hours worked. And what you're going to get is your effective hourly rate. And that there may surprise you. That figure is probably going to shock you. You probably earn way less than you think you do for someone who has the skill set and sort of, you know, work elements and so forth that make you successful. But it's a real shame. We get thrown in all of these really things that just take away from our best work. Now, if you were to somehow get rid of those elements, then our jobs would probably be a lot more interesting. Now, I've been able to do that. I've basically done the exact same activity as you across my teaching career and realized that I was doing so many more hours than were actually needed, and the net result was I was pretty much working for, you know, not much at all. And it's not all about money, sure, don't get me wrong, but it's all about time. And time is the absolute commodity that we have. We cannot get it back. We can get money back, but we just cannot get time back. And too many people are just going through the motions, abusing their time, just saying more yes to everything because it's just part of the job. And I think it's a real disease of our culture. Now, I've been able to, as I mentioned, escape that by outsourcing much of the things that I do that are possible to outsource. And it's freed me up to be able to take on more, which was, which was great for me. But I've seen it free people up so that they can take on less and do less. And one of the ways that you might be able to do that is to think about how much per hour your time is worth. Now think about it. It'll be based sort of on your effective hourly rate and how many hours you work. What is 1 hour of your time worth to you? Now you might say, yeah, I mean, and I'd happily spend an hour at home with my kids for $5. So an hour of your time might be worth $5. For me, I think it's worth more than that. You know, I think our time is the only thing we have that we cannot get back. So I would put more than $5 on it. So with that being said, if your time is worth $5 to you personally, and you have the capacity to find someone to do whatever it is that you need to do and pay them to do that, then you absolutely should. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can make this happen. So the first website that I use all the time, and I've had hundreds of jobs done that sort of align up with things in my profession, is fiverr.com. So fiverr.com. Now, if you've sort of read the domain correctly, Fiverr stands for $5. And the basic premise is that you can go here and have pretty much everything, anything you can possibly imagine done for $5. And I'm serious, you can hire a virtual assistant, which is literally a person somewhere in the world who will do tasks for you, which could be anything from data entry to spell checking or proofreading or anything like that. You can hire a graphic designer to produce a poster or a flyer for you. You can, anything, literally anything you can imagine, you could have someone do for you. And I'm going to say that I've used it on a number of occasions to get things done. So, I mean, I was organizing a carnival, and the carnival had to have some promotion in it, and we had to produce a flyer and get it out to different schools and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I could have sat around and tried to make it myself, or I could pay $5 and have someone else to do it. And that very mindset shift makes me sort of appreciate just how valuable our time is. And when I got back the file, it was better than what I would have done, absolutely. And I had saved myself about 2 hours of sort of work to make that happen. Now, you could do the same thing for so many different areas of your job. Have a look at it and think, you know, break your day up into tasks, the things that you have to do that are only sort of possible by you, and the things that are possible by mainly staff in your school, and then the things are possible that by anyone, so that no matter who got that task, it could be done. And, you know, start doubling down on the things that you can do well, the things that have an impact, and start getting rid of the stuff that you don't necessarily have to be the person to do. You could find a colleague who really enjoys that and work out some sort of symbiotic relationship so that they do this element and you do this element, and it saves you from having to spend time on the elements that you don't like. Or you can take it further and find someone who literally is your right-hand virtual assistant who helps you through the day-to-day mundane tasks that you need to do. Now, I mean, if you can do this and get yourself in that position and find out what you're willing to spend from your monthly take-home pay to give yourself more time, then I can guarantee you that time can be used more effectively in your own personal life. So hopefully you've started to think a little bit about outsourcing and how valuable it can actually be. For me personally, it's changed my life. It gives me the capacity to do 10x what I would be able to do if it was just me. And the result of that is I get more done and I have more impact because I get to focus in on the things that actually matter. And that is the face-to-face teaching, the learning component, and as many ways as I possibly can, I'll outsource or find ways to leverage the skills of other people in return for me helping them in an area that I am also better at. So hopefully that's just got you thinking. If you've ever thought about this, then I think you should go ahead and do it. And this doesn't just have to be for your school life. I mean, you should be outsourcing other elements of your day-to-day life as well. You know, your housework, other things like that. I mean, what can you do? How can you find someone to free up time? Can you order your groceries online and have them delivered rather than going to the supermarket to do it? Now, I mean, these all might sound trivial and ridiculous, but I'm going to say it again. You're not meant to be an expert at everything, so stop trying to be one. And time is the ultimate asset, and we should be looking for opportunities to do less. I'm going to leave it there. If you have any questions, then you know where to find me at thepeergeek.com. And I look forward to hearing what you thought about outsourcing and how you can use it to leverage more time. See ya.